Welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast, where we hope to inspire, motivate, and provide education from our guests' experience.
Julia, what a great episode this week with Zara Shahabi.
Yes, I mean, a special care consultant with a difference, that's for sure.
She was a real advocate for sustainability in dentistry, and she talked about a whole host of different useful things.
Yes, and made you really feel as though you should take ownership in whatever dental setting or lifestyle setting you were in.
And I can't wait for our listeners to put this into action. So sit back, relax. Here's this week's episode.
With your hosts, Josh Hudson and Julia Bruin.
So Zara, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you. To start off with, we'd like to know just a little bit more about your career up until this point. So what first got you into dentistry? And then can you give us a kind of quick rundown of what's happened between that point and where you are now?
Well, unlike a lot of my friends, dentistry was not a childhood passion of mine. I'd only applied because my friend at the time of A-levels said, why don't you apply for dentistry? So I put my application in, got in, fast forward 5 years. I graduated in 2005. Did the usual VT and max facs, as most people did in those days. Mm-hmm. And I was quite fortunate that my VT trainer introduced me to sedation very early on, and I was treating vulnerable groups because there was a mental health hospital opposite where the practice was. And then after max facs, I did community and part-time practice. And then again, because nothing in my life is planned. So my friend said to me, I think it was in 2008, look, there's this new opportunity that's come up for specialty training in special care dentistry. Why don't you apply? And I was on holiday visiting my family in Bahrain. And then she said, well, the deadline's tomorrow. So okay. I put the application in and thought, you know, I've got nothing to lose. Didn't have a clue what I was applying for. Got an interview, went to the interview with one piece of paper. Everyone had huge portfolios. Got the job and found myself not quite knowing what I'd got myself into. But I was one of the first five trainees in the UK in special care dentistry. And it was really challenging because none of us knew what to expect. And I'd gone into a service that was not that developed. There wasn't really any special care. So I had to, in effect, start it from scratch. So I developed the service. I carved my own path and made a case for a consultant position. And then I was employed as a consultant. And now we have a really thriving, dynamic team of, you know, providing special care dentistry to vulnerable groups. And I'm also on the board of trustees for the Society of for the Advancement of Anesthesia in Dentistry, because I've been doing sedation for years, and I do a lot of mentoring and training in hospitals and in private practice, and I do some private sedation as well. I am now a clinical fellow in sustainability. And again, all of this was unplanned.
I hope you still got that friend, because he sounds as though this is a person that's been very, very instrumental in your life.
Yeah, and it's different people at different points of my life. And I've never really had a plan. I've just gone with the flow, including with my children, gone with the flow.
That must have been hard in terms of training, because you were the guinea pigs, I guess, because it hadn't happened before. So you were learning, but I guess everybody around you was learning about how to have these trainees in this new specialty and how it was all going to work. So what were the kind of challenges of that? But I guess there must have been some good aspects of being part of something new as well.
Yeah, and I've always been of the personality that thrives in a challenging environment. And that's where I am the most productive. And it was hard because, you know, we'd sat this exam for the first time and I hadn't passed the first time round. And some of my colleagues and friends had dropped out by then because it was just, we just didn't know what to expect and no one knew what to expect of us. For me, that period of my life showed me that I had the resilience because I just picked myself up and carried on because I had a goal to achieve, and that was to complete the training.
Wow. I think your department's very, very lucky to have you. And I think, you know, whenever I hear about special care dentistry, it always puts a smile on my face because it really makes me think how lucky those people are to have such care provided by you and your team.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And I think that that was one of my main drivers, was I was providing care for a really vulnerable group of patients. And there was a lot of fulfillment going back home on a daily basis, feeling like I'd achieved something.
So, I mean, that's your career, and we are a careers podcast after all, and that's why we've got you on here. But actually, we've got you on here for a slightly different feel, because we're here to ask you about your sustainability journey. This is obviously quite a hot topic in dentistry at the moment and healthcare generally. So perhaps you can tell us how this interest first ignited.
I had my twins, I gave birth to them very prematurely in 2019. And the difference in age between them and my older daughter was only 20 months. So I had three children under the age of two at one point. And I had started making changes in my own life because I was thinking about their future. So I would buy them pre-loved clothing. I wasn't using my car as much. I cut down on the amount of meat I was eating. And I had just changed just my lifestyle, and it drove my husband mad because I was like, no, we're not buying that. That's full of plastic. And so that when I went back to work after maternity leave in 2020, that was the peak of the pandemic. And of course, you know, I'd already had these heightened senses to why are we using so much plastic, to find myself in a cornucopia of plastics within the clinic where everything was covered. We were wearing, level three PPE from head to toe. The computers were covered in plastic sheets. And at that point, I thought, this is all going to the bin, but where is it ending up? So I contacted the waste manager, who was into sustainability himself. And I said to him, what's happening with all of this packaging? And then he put me in touch with a volunteer group called Green at Barts Health. And these are a staff group who are looking at promoting sustainability, doing, you know, climate projects, engaging in climate protests, and really starting to hold the trust to account when it came to the green agenda. And then there was this project on reusable masks, and they said, look, we want someone to take this forward. Would you be able to engage in this? And I said, yeah, why not?
Sounds right up your street.
Right up my street. And I was looking for that new project to take on. You know, I was used to taking on that new, you know, big projects like setting up a service. And like I told you, I thrive on new challenges. So I engaged with a number of people across the country, a number of people within the trust, really expanded my network. You know, all of a sudden I knew the waste manager, I knew the facilities manager, and I engaged with the students at the same time because I wanted them to be part of this. So they designed the masks, and we, you know, made contacts with the comms team. And it became like a trust-wide project and something that I was really proud of. And then after that, I started looking at other things within the clinic, and this opportunity came up to apply for a clinical fellow post in sustainability. And that's where my journey kind of started.
Wow. I think, yeah, it's interesting what you say there about making these changes at home, and you might make all of these changes to reduce your plastic use, and one patient encounter might create all of that plastic that you've saved from a whole day's worth of changes. So I think it's definitely something we need to look at. And with your fellowship, so that was related to the Centre for Sustainable Healthcare, is that right?
No, the fellowship was part of Barts Health Trust.
So where did the Centre of Sustainable Healthcare come into this journey? And for anybody that doesn't know what that is, could you give us a little bit of background about that organisation?
So the Centre of Sustainable Health, and I'll abbreviate it to CSH, has a phenomenal amount of resource. I came to be aware of them when I enrolled on a course called Sustainability in Dentistry. And it was hosted by a consultant in public health called Brett Duane, who has done an phenomenal amount of work in sustainability and had gone into quite granular detail. The first part of the course was reading the online resource, and there was a lot of information there that was new to me. The second part of the course was an online lecture series. And the third part of the course was a follow-up on any projects that you had undertaken within that period. After that, I had joined when I was way into my fellowship. My fellowship only started in May of 2023. So there was this opportunity to join a 10-week competition, and it was called the Green Teams Competition, and that was funded for by Northeast London, which is where we work, and that was a 10-week program where we had a workshop with two mentors. And then we had to implement a sustainability quality improvement project. And the mentors were instrumental in helping us with the concepts of carbon modelling, which are very difficult to do and very new to us. But also looking at different aspects of sustainability that I wasn't aware of. So when you are doing a quality improvement project, and this is part of the work that they do, you should be looking at not just the environmental value, but also the financial value. So you have to show that it is cost efficient. And also the social value. So one of the things we were looking at was remote consultations that we had implemented during the pandemic and post, and to see what sustainable value they had. And we found that we had saved over 11,000 kilograms of carbon emissions, which was equivalent to driving from here to Glasgow 38 times, just by doing 1,800 virtual consultations for patients. We had a cost improvement value of £175,000. And there was a social value because it had improved access for a large group of patients. So this process with CSH was extremely valuable for me in understanding not only how to implement a change, but also how to measure a change.
I mean, this is an organisation that lots of people perhaps might not have any idea of. So clearly that's one element of the work that they're doing. Is there any other sort of initiatives, projects, things that they are doing that other people perhaps might be able to get involved in?
So CSH is a charity and they help healthcare organisations in achieving their sustainability goals. And they have a set of core principles. One is prevention. Number two is helping patients in their self-care. Three is something called lean patient pathways. And that's where you look at your efficiency along your, you know, patient flow. And the last principle is looking at low carbon alternatives, and that could be reusables or digitization. And all of those resources are available on their website. And I would encourage everyone to visit the website to get that information. They also hold courses that are really valuable. And they work with healthcare organizations. One of the things that they were instrumental in doing was they supported the e-learning for health. So there are modules online that people can access for dentistry, and it's free for NHS workers or anyone with an NHS.net account. They also have really good dental guides on there, and toolkits for dentists. And there is quite a substantial dental network. They've got about 342 dental professionals that have joined into that, and they all feed in their case studies.
And sharing ideas, presumably, yeah, about how to even just do small steps, because clearly not everybody's going to be in a position to do a fellowship or some great competition or initiative within their practice. But even small steps will make a difference.
Definitely. And sustainability in dentistry is quite nuanced. We've only started really talking about it in the last 2 years. And it is small steps. And a lot of you might actually be doing stuff that you might not think is related to sustainability. And one of the biggest things is prevention. So preventing disease in the oral cavity, preventing the patient from coming into the hospital and using up resources that all have an impact on the environment that we live in.
We'll certainly make sure that we have some good notes for this episode on our pages then.
Yeah. So
thank you for that.
I think prevention, that's something that I hadn't even thought about until you've just said it, but that makes a lot of sense. If people aren't even coming in, then that's obviously going to be better than if they are using up a lot of resources. You mentioned there that this is something that we're starting to talk about more recently. Why do you think that now suddenly the dental world is starting to become more aware of sustainability and people are starting to ask more questions and think about this a bit more? Why do you think that now is kind of the time for that?
So I'm going to take it back a bit and talk about generally the medical world and then relate it to the dental world. So typically when I do a presentation, one of the questions I ask is, what do you picture when I say climate crisis? And the answers I get are melting ice caps and polar bears. But the narrative has changed. And instead of thinking about it in terms of planetary health, we have started to think about it as a crisis of healthcare. Because the planet will survive any calamities brought by climate change, but humans will not. Mm-hmm. And in 2021, The Lancet produced a report that said that the climate emergency and the climate crisis is the biggest global health threat of the 21st century. And if we think about, for example, the heat wave that we all endured in 2022, do you guys remember that? Mm-hmm. You know, while some of you might have enjoyed the heat and, you know, were holidaying on the coastal beaches of Cornwall, it impacted a lot of communities. So they found that they had 3,700 excess deaths during that period, because excess heat can lead to increased cardiovascular events and an increase in respiratory events because of the particulate matter in the air increases. So you're more likely to get asthma or exacerbations in asthma. So now you can see how the climate emergency is a health emergency. And in 2020, for the first time in global history, there was a young girl by the name of Ella Kissi Deborah. She was 9 years old and she had passed away. And on her death certificate, the cause of death was put down as air pollution. And what had happened was that she, in the last 2 years of her life, she had multiple A&E attendances. And the physicians that were involved in her care looked at the particulate matter on those days, and the air quality, and she lived in London, was particularly bad on those days.
I remember that case. That was a really turning point, wasn't it?
It was a turning point. And that's when people started noticing. And that's why it's important that we provide healthcare without harm. Now, if we think about dentistry, it's highly resource intensive. We have a lot of consumables that we use. So our waste is phenomenal. And one of the things we always think about is waste, because we can visually see it. So when we want to implement any change, the first thing we think about is waste. Although in the grander scheme of things, you're better off thinking about prevention. So it's a high volume, high intensity resource specialty. And we use a lot of energy. So we need energy to, power up our ventilation system. We use energy for our sterilization systems. We use a lot of water. And they say every time we see a patient, the average number of consumables or disposable items is, how much do you think it is?
A lot.
Every time we see a patient.
Oh, God, that's a good question. We don't often get the guests asking us a question, do we?
At least 10.
Oh, far more. I think it would be three figures.
It's at 21.
Is it?
21 items of the, and that could include an examination.
Yeah.
And when we think about examinations, the carbon footprint of a dental exam, and again, these figures are from Brett Duane's work, and he's done a phenomenal amount of work in giving us these figures. A dental examination generates around 5.5 kilograms of carbon dioxide emissions, and that's equivalent to traveling 16 miles. And a denture generates about 71 kilograms of carbon dioxide emissions, and that's equivalent to driving over 200 miles. And when you think about it, when you're making a denture, there's, the impression materials, but the travel to back and forth to the lab and the energy required to fabricating that denture. So we, as a dental profession, we should be, and I took the Hippocratic Oath, in that we should be providing dentistry without harm. Mm. So you can see the ethical dilemma here.
Yeah. I think we're, I was actually thinking of the money, not the money side of things, but when you were talking about the figures there, I think I just got my head in a slightly different headspace there. But yes, I think you've given us all something to think about there. Really, really interesting side of things. I think, sometimes it's the simple things that just do clarify things, and you've really done that for us. So thank you very much. I mean, clearly you've talked a little bit about your students getting involved in a project of making masks earlier, but do you think that this is something, sustainability, that we ought to really be teaching our younger registrants all about? Because I think we are increasingly becoming aware of it, but do you think it ought to become an integral part of the training programmes?
Well, your question has come at quite a pertinent time. Only last week, the General Dental Council released the new outcomes for the new curriculum. And in it, and quite welcomed, are two new outcomes that relate to environmental sustainability and the awareness of our dental treatment on the environment. So I think that will change the landscape of the future. And that will come into effect in 2025. But from my work with the students at the dental hospital, it seemed that sustainability awareness was variable. Some felt quite overwhelmed by the climate emergency. Some felt quite you know, helpless, saying, well, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. But it's really about motivating them. And there was a study at Imperial College when they looked at students, and one of the, if you involve them in quality improvement and motivate them, they are more likely to take action. And I have been really passionate in involving them. They are the future, and they are the voice of the profession, of the future. And I've done a lot of work with them by setting up sustainability workshops. And I didn't want to do it in a way where we just lecture them. Because I think we have a generation now where you have to be innovative in the way that you deliver information. So the way that I set up this workshop, for example, was by making it like a Dragon's Den type of workshop, where they had to come to us and pitch ideas to a panel, where you had like the trust finance officer, where you had people from industry, and the sustainability transformation group on there. And we gave them an hour to think of an idea and to pitch it to this panel. And they did a phenomenal job. And from that, because we've got this new clinic that's opening in Hackney for the students, and from that, they had made excellent suggestions. And we have put in some cycle racks for them. We have ensured that there are showers, because this was one of the pitches. And, you know, they came up with just great ideas that we are taking forward. So I think it's really important that we focus on embedding it from now into their teaching.
That sounds like a really interesting project, and presumably ongoing. I mean, this isn't just a one-year wonder. You're going to be doing this every year.
Oh, definitely. And I try and use every opportunity I can, because I'm not an academic, I'm an NHS employee, but we do have access to the students and they may occasionally come into our clinic. And I'm always looking for hands to help me, because at the moment I feel like I'm on my own in the dental hospital, really championing these projects. One of the things they did, you know, they used their initiative and they produced a music video that talks about the climate crisis, and it was excellent.
Wow, what a great project.
Yes.
So a lot of what we've been talking about has been related to secondary care. Obviously, that's where you're spending most of your time at the moment. But for listeners who are in primary care, who are interested in sustainability and trying to practice more sustainable in a more sustainable way. I know we've touched on a couple of things in terms of prevention, but what kind of practical advice can you give to people that they can implement in their practice from tomorrow to be more sustainable?
So I think in primary care, you have so much more autonomy. For us to make any changes in secondary care, and Julia, both of you would understand the lengths we have to go to and the stakeholders that we have to engage.
Yeah.
So I would say to you guys in primary care, you know, you can make the most impactful change. And again, start at home, do what I did, because if you start at home, you will bring that to work. And if you think about your day, think about the laundry of your uniform. Can you change? Could you use a more eco-friendly detergent? Can you take your food into work? Eat seasonal produce? Use reusable packaging? Your reusable water bottles? Do you remember back in the day, everyone used to have a disposable water bottle, and now people are just more environmentally aware. Mm. Then think about your journey to your practice. Could you, instead of using a car, could you walk or cycle? And I understand in rural areas that's not always possible, but could you car share, for example? And there is a huge campaign on active travel, because not only does active travel reduce your carbon footprint, but it's also good for your health. And once you get in to your surgery, think about the actual environment that you work in. So if we look at energy, for example, does your practice, are they signed up to a green energy supplier? Do you switch off the lights when you leave? Can you switch off your computers? Think about water and water wastage. Do you have leaks? Do you sit there running the taps for... I remember going to the hospital every morning at 8 o'clock. I used to be the first one there. And one of the nurses used to switch on the tap and leave it running, all of the taps on the clinic, and leave them running for a good 20 minutes. And I used to go and close all of the taps. So think about your water usage. Then think about your patient and the patient flow. So prevention, we said, was key. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only does prevention mean that the patient won't come into the hospital, but we know that oral diseases are related to multi-system diseases. Think about the actual treatment. Think about your PPE. Can you switch to reusable PPE? So instead of your disposable gowns, you can use reusable gowns. And I've seen a lot of people on social media using reusable gowns, which is great. And it's more cost effective for the practice. And actually, the most cost effective way is usually the most sustainable way as well. So think about your consultations. Can you provide remote consultations or virtual consultations? So for example, for my patients, they come into the hospital, for some of my patients, they come into the hospital just once to have their treatment. So we do, especially those who have access issues, they might have advanced dementia or challenging behaviour. We do the remote consultation. We do the planning all in the background. They come in for one anaesthetic and they're put to sleep. We do their teeth, but at the same time, they will have their ears checked. If there are ongoing issues with their ears, they might have a gastroscopy if they've got stomach issues, and they might have their eyes checked. And this is all part of... an initiative called Getting It Right First Time. It's about seeing the right patient in the right place at the right time, and that will maximise and make the use of resources much more efficient. And it's about providing minimally invasive dentistry. You know, does this patient actually need this treatment? And then think about the waste that you produce. Are you segregating your waste in the right way? A lot of practices I've worked in primary care use the infectious waste stream, which is really heat intensive because you have to incinerate it at a certain temperature. Whereas it should be the offensive waste stream, which are your tiger bags. So talk to your, the suppliers of your waste contract. And see whether they've also got a dry mixed recycling stream. And really think about, you know, digitization of your notes, intraoral scanners. And I think the landscape will change. We are using a lot more, digital technology to help facilitate dentistry, but also it does reduce the waste. And look at your consumables. Is there anything that I can reuse? Can I switch to reusables? And when you are switching to reusables, you have to think about something called the life cycle assessment, which takes into account the carbon footprint of a material from its raw material manufacture to its distribution, shipping and packaging. Be mindful that there is a lot of greenwashing out there. They might say this is more eco-friendly, but actually when you look at the life cycle assessment of that item, you find that it might have come from the Far East and you're better off getting something that's locally sourced. So there's a lot of things that one can think about. And I think most of you are probably doing some of this stuff without noticing that you are doing this stuff, you know.
Yeah, wow. What a very useful selection of tips.
An extremely comprehensive sustainability element there. Thank you very much. So I'm just thinking, this is what we're doing now and this is what we hope to be doing. But if I can say fast forward 10 years, what would you really hope, dream, aspire to the fact that we're doing differently?
Well, I would hope by then that the education has been really embedded. So if we take the new move by the General Dental Council to embed sustainability within the curriculum, hopefully by then it would have been well established and we found different ways of delivering that key learning and key information for the future workforce. But it'd be really good to see it also embedded in postgraduate degrees, for example. I'd like to see more awareness amongst the dental community about sustainability. And I think people are starting to talk about it more now, but it's about implementing it. And it would be great if there were alternatives to a lot of the single-use items that we use. And I think that really... that really does irritate a lot of the staff that I work with, the amount of the volume of waste that we produce. So it's really thinking of, hopefully by then we would have thought of more innovative ways to deliver treatment. So yeah, I think watch the space, and the landscape is changing.
So our listeners might be hearing all of those things and being getting excited and inspired by changing how they do things for the better. If there's anybody that's wanting to take that little step further and maybe explore this area a little bit more, maybe academically, maybe a bit more formally, what advice would you give to those people? How can people go about learning more about this area?
So firstly, you can use your free resources that are available on the internet. So like I said before, the e-learning for health has got really good resources. Look for local courses that may be around. The Centre of Sustainable Health, CSH, has some e-learning courses that you pay for. There are other courses that may not be dentistry focused, but will give you an idea of sustainability as a whole. So the Institute of Environmental Management and Assessment. I would encourage those who are, you know, in postgraduate degrees to think about their, for example, thesis projects and say, actually, I want to look at a project that focuses on sustainability that's related related to my academic program. Take it from there. So there are resources available that are free or paid for. Some of you might also be encouraged to start writing papers and submitting to publications, and that's really useful to disseminate that information so that other people can learn from you. There's a really good practical guide or clinical guide produced by the BDA, the main author is Brett Duane, and it's a compilation of all the papers that he's done relating to prevention, carbon modelling, and sustainability in dentistry. So I would encourage you guys to read that.
We started off by saying that this was a sort of careers podcast, and we've obviously touched on your career and your sustainability journey. But I'm, along with Josh, interested in your personal career. I mean, where do you see your career now going in the future?
The answer is, I don't know. If you ask my husband, he'll probably say retirement. I don't know, because I don't really plan things in my life. I think one thing that I haven't really done is humanitarian work, and that's something I would be passionate in engaging with.
You don't think you're doing that element of that in your job at the moment?
I think I am, but I would like to do a lot more. So I think that's where I would like to focus on in the future. And my sustainability journey is really at the start. So hopefully gaining a more leadership role or a greater leadership role within sustainability. I did have the opportunity because I stepped up as clinical director for my trust for 5 weeks and decided that it wasn't for me. So I know that's something that I won't be doing.
Well, that's as
useful as knowing what you do want to do, isn't it? So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real joy to have you here.
Yeah, it was really interesting and some really useful things for us all to think about.
Thank you for having me. And hopefully the information has been beneficial for you guys listening.
I'm sure it has. If you've been inspired by that episode, did you know that the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre provide training for the whole dental team? Follow us on social media or search for the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre to find out more.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. We would love to hear your suggestions for future guests. Remember to follow us on social media using hashtag the Eastman Dental Podcast. And if you like what you hear, please like, share, subscribe, and listen out for future episodes.